Open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 15. And put a marker in Acts 16. We might get that far. I was listening, of course, as always, trying to discern the mind of Christ today. And there was a lot of good things today. The two services. And Dave was basically giving us previews of things to come that he's not really at liberty to completely teach yet. More on Satan's war machine. Alan's message, I thought, was just phenomenal about using you in the midst of your faults. How many of you are glad about that? I mean, okay, I like the way Dave came out and kind of summarized that. He said, you know, if God didn't use people with faults, he'd have no one to use. So, you know, the title on that message is Get Over Yourself Already and Let Him Use You, okay? Get over yourself. It's God doing the work, not you, and let Him use you, okay? That doesn't relieve us from our responsibility to keep doing the things that we know to do, but don't let the devil beat you up. Honey, you're not the only one falling below your own expectations. Did you get that? You're not the only... I'm going to say that again. That was God right there. You're not the only person at the prayer center falling below your own expectations. We're all setting the standard high, and that's good. You should shoot high. And that, you know, if you don't make it, at least you're going to be higher than most people who don't set anything at all. See, but God, it's like that woman that come in that time, she was just, to Dave, she was just so down and just despondent. And she'd tried to fast. I'm just going to do a 3-day fast, you know, and she'd make it till, you know, 3 hours. just despondent, you know, and just was sure God was just so mad at her. And Dave says, now wait a minute, the vast majority of the church thinks fasting passed away with the apostles. None of them even think about fasting. None of them ever, you know, they never try it. Now here you are, and God loves all of them, and here you are, and at least, you know the truth, and you're at least contending, and maybe falling short of your expectations, but you're trying, and you think God is docking you for that when you don't meet it? He says, no, He's on your side. He's going, come on, let's go again. Try again. You can do it. Well, that's the attitude you have to have all the time. Okay, so I thought that was wonderful, those messages. I encourage them both. But the part that kept coming to me, of all things, for this service tonight, was really the testimony the lady gave who sang the song. She was in Branson, I think it was last week, and it was her turn to sing. And she was up for an award. She hadn't received it yet, but she was up for an award. And normally, if you're going to sing at a place where you're up for an award, you sing a song that you wrote. And she's written a lot of songs. But the Lord kept saying, no, I want you to sing this other song. Now see, logic right there takes over. Logic says, and that's the problem. Logic says, no, you're here to do this. You need to stay with the program. You need to do... But I know what that voice is. It keeps saying, no, you do what I say. So she yielded to the Lord. Thank God she was obedient. And she says she had to sing right after the long announcements that went on forever. She says whatever anointing was in that place, by the time they got through with all those announcements, there was no anointing left at all. But God says, sing this song. Sing this one. So not one that she wrote. So she sang it. The anointing filled the place again. End result of it, I think another fellow sang, but the end result, 8 people got saved. And it even reached out and someone on the sidewalk gave their life to Jesus. Now see, that's what it's all about. Now the reason I had you turn to 1 Samuel 15, there's a lot of lessons you can teach out of 1 Samuel 15, but the one we want to look at is obedience is better than sacrifice. Okay, apparently we've hit a chord here. Obedience is better than sacrifice, see? Now, I hesitate to read this whole thing, but I think it's the mind of God that we do. We're just going to pick it up and read the whole story. Some of you, it's been a long time. At this point in history, Saul was the king of Israel. David was not king yet. Samuel was the prophet. So, 1 Samuel 15, starting in verse 1, Samuel also said unto Saul, and that's King Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. By the way, that's your job. And it doesn't matter whether you're from the pulpit or whether you're singing a country song at Branson. I'm going to give you one a simple assignment that I got from the Lord one time in Korea that didn't make any sense at the time, but it was sure the mind of the Lord. Hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. That's called obedience. Gary, have you been perfect at that? I don't know anybody who has been perfect at that. But the point of this story here is obedience. You can't substitute. There's nothing you can offer God in place of obedience. Nothing else will work. So let's go on here now. Verse 2. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, now notice, and utterly destroy all that they have. Spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling. Notice, even the animals, ox and sheep, camel and ass. And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenites, Go, depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, what? Took the king alive? Remember that. And utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. Boy, there's a lot of teaching material right there, but we can't. Not for tonight, okay? Then came the word of the Lord unto... Lloyd? When we first came here, there was a preacher here from Maine. And he would go, he had his accent, thick accent. Praise the Lord. We shall all worship the Lord. Sue would turn to me, who is this Lloyd and why should we worship him? Now people in Maine are listening to me. They're going, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with him? Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel saying, It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came down to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and is gone about, and passed on, and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, What meaneth... Now, what? Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord. Saul says, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of sheep in mine ears? And the lowing of the oxen, which I hear. And Saul said, Well, they, notice, they, they have brought them, who's king? Saul. But Saul says, No, they. Mm-hmm. They have brought them from the Amalekites for the people. Adam tried it. It's this woman thou gave me. Right away, Saul knows he's in trouble here. It's the people. The people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen. And they had a good purpose. Now notice, they spared them for what purpose? To sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. And the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. And Samuel said, When thou wast, now get this, when thou wast little,
in thine own sight? Wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, he's still protesting, still declaring his innocence, Yes, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people, here he is still, but the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed. He knows it. They should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice, but they did it to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, here we said all that to get to this verse, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion, and what he means here is when you see, this kind of rebellion is different than some other kinds. This kind he's talking about here, see, a lot of times we do things because we, you know, one of the most common prayers I get up here is, well, I need direction. And they're taking their best shot. We're not talking about that. We're not even talking in this case about a written commandment. Don't steal. Don't lie. Although that applies too. What we're really talking about here is where you have asked for direction. You have received direction. And you said, no. I'm not going to go that way. I'm going to do what I think is best. Which is really, I mean, you know, we don't really... It doesn't seem... See, and I'm like you guys. I wish when God would speak, Gabriel's trumpet would always come first. Amen. You know, don't you wish that? Dun da da dun da da da. Dun da da dun da da da. Incoming message from God. This is really God and not you this time. Obey this voice this time. Dun da da dun da da da. Don't you wish it came like that? But it doesn't. And you have to learn a lot of times through trial and error. But see, if you keep at it, you will learn. But this kind of rebellion here is not when you don't know. It's when you do know. You, without a doubt, you know what he said to you personally. You know his instructions. Like this lady, the example we have of the lady in from Branson. God says, sing this song, a particular song. Logic, no way would you ever pick that song, because if you're up for an award, you're going to pick a song that you wrote. That's just normal. Logical, reasonable. But see, God has a higher agenda than your award. What he was after was those eight souls. And the one that got saved out on the sidewalk, and you know what? She still got her award. But whether she got it, whether she didn't have got it, she'd have got a different award when she gets to heaven. And it's better than the one Branson will give you. I'm telling you right now. Okay? But see, rebellion, this kind of rebellion, this kind, where you know what God said. And you go, no, I know better than you. Now those words don't normally come out of your mouth. I did exactly this. This nearly cost me my life right here. When God told me to leave the trucks on February 4th, 1994, I didn't say the words no, but by my action, I said no. Because I did not obey the voice of the Lord. For 10 months, His grace continued to cover me. His rod and His staff protected me. But the shepherd was going this direction, and my little sheep mind decided to go that direction. And I eventually got out there where the wolves are. And the devil nearly killed me. I wish I could tell you it was my great faith and love of God that finally made me decide to obey Him. No, it was self-preservation. The devil's going to kill me out there. I think I'm better off to obey God, no matter how dangerous that looks. But see, this kind of rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Well, you can imagine. If Saul is going to take it upon himself to start making decisions, he's no different from any other human king then.
God wanted a king that would hear him. So you know the story. Eventually he found a man after his own heart, which was David, and he became king of Israel. Now, turn to Acts 16. Not a coincidence that he's having this message tonight after Alan's message this morning. If you only hear this and you didn't hear Alan's, you think, you let the devil get you all back under condemnation, thinking about every time that you didn't obey God. God loves you. He didn't let the devil kill me. Now, the devil took a shot, but God didn't let him kill me. Can you tell I survived?
Yeah.
He put me in the ministry. I've disobeyed him a lot of times. Did I say that out loud? I've disobeyed him a lot of times since then. Had to repent like the rest of you. Get over yourself. But what we're talking about is learning to obey God, because he's always got a higher agenda. He sees things from a different perspective than we see things, okay? Now, for example, let's go ahead and do this one in Acts 16, and maybe he'll let me do those examples. Acts 16 is just one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, because it really shows the leadership that is possible for us that comes by the Holy Ghost. I mean, here's these two fellas and Paul and Silas, and they had finished their assignment, whatever it was they were doing for God, and they didn't know what to do next. Anyone ever been there? Maybe you're there right now. He's going, okay, I've moved to the prayer center, I've been doing the message, I've done this, I've done that, but I'm kind of in a place right now, I don't know what's next, God. Well, that's kind of where they were. They didn't know what to do next. So, like the rest of us, you start thinking about what all is possible here. So, starting in verse 6, it says, now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and notice they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Now, we could fast forward a few chapters, and I could show you that eventually they did go to Asia and preach. Ephesus at that time was called Asia, the region. They spent 2 years there, built a big church. And it wasn't the mind of God for them never to go preach the gospel in Asia. But at this time, not only, this is not a suggestion, it says they were forbidden. Do not go. Now, do you know that they could have disobeyed that? Do you know there was no trumpet blast for them either? Dun da da dun da da da. Do not go into Asia. This is really God. Had to learn to hear the Holy Ghost. Well, you got to learn to hear the Holy Ghost. See? And the reason the Holy Ghost is saying don't go into Asia, it's not the mind of Christ at that time. Jesus is alive and well. Jesus can tell you today to cast you. I'm not looking at anybody for any reason now. I've had people not even come to services for 2 weeks at a time thinking I was pointing them out. I got to look somewhere. I'm not directing nothing at nobody. Stop it. Again, get over yourself, okay? Lord. They tell me they forgave me. I said, for what? For crying out loud. Here were they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to go there. And the reason why, Jesus is alive and well. We say all the time, He has got a right now mind for every person in this room and in the sound of my voice. Jesus has got plans for you. And that mind of Christ in our dispensation comes by way of the Holy Ghost. That's why He said the Holy Ghost, when He speaks, He's not going to speak of Himself, meaning He's not going to speak on His own accord, meaning He's not come to be your Lord. He has come to bring you my Lordship. Jesus is your head. Jesus is your Lord. The reason the Holy Ghost was forbidden, it wasn't the mind of Christ for them to go right then. Later on, it was the mind of Christ for them to go. You gospel entrepreneurs, listen, this kind of message here is wonderful and scary all at the same time, because, I mean, it's risky. When God says, I want you to do this with your money, y'all ever see Lord of the Rings? The precious. My money, the precious. Now, God, you've gone too far. You're going to tell me what to do with my money? That's the whole problem. See, when it becomes His money, then He's free to do with it what He will. See, now that takes it. I'm telling you, one of the hardest callings to do this in is in the arena of finances. But I mean, it's the same Holy Ghost and the same thing. You're going to obey Him or you're not. You're going to decide what to do, or He's going to decide what to do. You're going to lead yourself, or you're going to let Him lead you. Good stuff. So anyway, the Holy Ghost forbade them to preach the word in Asia. So they were come to Mysia, and they assayed. That's a good word. You know what an assayer is? Like gold, you bring it in. They put the dust or whatever you brought, and they put it in the scales, and they're weighing it to see what's pure and what's not. So they're thinking in their mind, well, what should we do? Maybe we should go to Bithynia. But the Spirit suffered them not. Again, why not? It wasn't the mind of Christ. They could have gone. God would have blessed it all that He could, but they would have been in disobedience. Okay? God blesses anything that you do for Him. He says, you can't even give a cup of cold water in My name and lose your reward, but that does not mean you're in His perfect will. Sue and I, if we had not obeyed... Okay, yes, sir, here's one instruction that Helena was there that very night. We had the Bible study at our house for 2 years, and God used it, did He not? I mean, people got saved, people got healed. This one lady got healed of, what's that, where you can't drink milk? Lactose intolerance, I mean. And it was, I'd have to tell you the whole story, take a whole service how God did that. But the end result, she sat there and drank a glass of milk and waited for the hives. Because normally, if she drank any milk, the hives, would she just break out all over? I said, huh? And this lady had had that lactose intolerance so bad, she hadn't been able to eat anything but mashed potatoes made with water, not milk. Mashed potatoes made with water. That's about all her diet was for about a year. Just existing on that. Laid hands on her in the name. Drank a glass of milk. Waited for the hives, no hives. Huh. My husband has some pizza. Went and got a slice of pizza. Ate the slice of pizza and no hives. I mean, it's a good Bible study is what I'm saying. One of my own son-in-laws married to one of my daughters got saved and spirit-filled at that Bible study. And then one day, just as shocking to me as I'm sure it was to King Saul, you get this instruction that makes very little sense. Tonight, He didn't give me much... I know now why God didn't give me much warning. I would have talked myself out of it. If I'd had too much time, I'd have talked myself out of obeying His instruction. But about 2 hours before the Bible study, He told me, just plain as you're hearing My voice right now, tonight is the last Bible study. You do not have another one. This is the end. He didn't tell me why. I went and checked with Sue. I said, Sue, have you been getting any witness from God that the Bible studies, you know, this is the last one? She said, well, I didn't know about this being the last one, but I've known for a while it was coming to an end. I said, man. So, but he didn't make any... I knew. See, I was exactly in that situation. That I knew what he said. This was the last one. Helena was there. What was the big question? Why? We love this Bible study. I'm going, I don't know. I just thought I got fired, you know. I said, I didn't tell them that, but I'm thinking on the inside, I disobeyed him. He's unhappy. Well, I know now why. I mean, we were having like 55 people come to that thing on an average. You know, like, you know how many churches I have ministered in that didn't have 55 people? I mean, what would have happened? What are you going to do when there's 75? We were at the limit of that little house. Well, you're going to start having it in another building. And eventually, it's going to wind up being a little church. And God would have blessed us way out on the edge of His permissive will. I am not called to be a pastor. I didn't know that then. But I'm not called to be a pastor. And I'm sure not called to start a little church within the shadow of the prayer center. You know, within a few miles of the prayer center, for crying out loud. How dumb is that? But, you know, but looking at it at the time, I didn't have all that figured out. It's easy now in hindsight. But I think, what if I hadn't obeyed this? And it would have been easy not to obey it. I could have, but the people, they want Helena. It's that Helena. She cried, God. She didn't want me to stop the Bible study. And I would have obeyed you, but it was all Helena. You think that would have worked? That wouldn't work, would it? I mean, that's not going to fly. I got to obey God for myself. So now He will bless you, but boy, there's just a big difference. We would have always been struggling uphill with that thing because we're out on just His way, out on the edge of His permissive will. See? Okay, well, getting back to this. Y'all know the story here. God showed him a vision. He did get the mind of God. It came to him in a vision in the night. Whether that's a dream, I don't know. But it's a vision that came in the night. And a man from Macedonia saying, come over here and help us. I think even I could have got that one. Okay. So they went. And the way it turned out now, see, if you went by circumstances, y'all know what happened when they got there? They cast the devil out of that fortune-telling girl. What happened? They got sued, basically, by the businessmen. Then they got beaten with the lashes and then thrown into prison. And I always, and in the stocks, I don't know whether it was the stocks like they had in England or not, but you know, I could just picture them. You know how they put them in the stocks with their head and their, I don't know if it was like that or not, but I could, probably not. But I can just see this picture, Paul and Silas next to each other. Silas looks over at him, back's bleeding, in the stocks. Had a dream, did you? Heard God, did you? The end result of that whole thing, though, that Philippian jailer wound up getting saved. That church, that little Philippi, the Philippian church that started right there, Paul says in his letter to them later, he says, no other church in the beginning communicated with me financially. Even after trip that we made, no other church basically supported us financially but you only. What was God doing? See, obedience. People said, where's my provision? I always say, in your obedience. That'd make a good title, wouldn't it? Where is your provision? It's in your obedience. And they could have gone somewhere else, but what God was doing, I mean, not only was He establishing this church, but God knows, and He was establishing the financial base for Paul's outreach, for his ministry, for the next 15 years. If you let God lead you, your provision is part of His plan. I like that. That's good. Let me tell you about a little story in Korea one time. Some of you have heard this, some of you haven't. Those of you that heard it, you're about to hear it again. Trying to learn to do these things. This was maybe my third trip over there a few years ago. And at the time, Jin Ho was real busy. He'd already translated Dave's book into Korean. And at that time, he had just finished translating one of Brother Kenneth Hagin's books into Korean. And he likes my teaching gift, so he wanted me to teach out of Kenneth Hagin's book. I forget now which was which, but one of them in the morning and the other one in the evening services. We were having morning and evening services for a solid week. And in the meantime, during the spare time, I taught at the Missionary Academy. So I'm teaching out of these two books, and he has published ahead of time that's what I'm supposed to do. So people coming are expecting to be taught out of those two books, you know. Man, I was having a great time doing this. Well, on the second night, the big service, the place is packed out. I mean, packed. It's a big, like our conference. This is their conference that they have every year. And I mean, the place is packed. Of course, I don't understand a whole lot of what's going on. Everything's in Korean up until they start translating for me. But I can tell when the worship is going on. Gary, how did you worship? In tongues. How do you think of worship? They're singing all this in, I recognize the tune, you know, but it's in Korean. So I would just, in tongues, I'd softly sing and worship. But anyway, Jin Ho's up there making announcements or doing something preparatory. And I begin hearing the Lord on this particular night say, teach on Paul's thorn tonight. It was just a thought came to me. This is where I wish the trumpet blast would come. This thought came, teach on Paul's thorn tonight. My mind immediately took over, my logic. Oh, no, I can't do that because that's not part of the curriculum. I'm supposed to teach out of the two books and you know, that's already been published. And so I'm, Shonda, you know, we're praying, we're, you know, doing whatever I'm doing. I hear it the second time. Teach on Paul's thorn tonight. And again, I pretty well dismissed it because I already had it all printed. I had my notes. I had my scriptures. I knew what I was going to teach on. I'd been studying the two books. I had it all figured out. So then he introduces me, and I have to step up, kind of like here, about three steps to go up on the platform. And on the second step, this is what I heard. Are you going to obey me or not? So I get up there, and I just tell him, I say, I was going to teach out of certain chapters of these two books tonight. But I said, if I'm hearing the Lord correctly, He wants me to teach on Paul's snoring. And I said, I'm just going to obey. I don't think he sent me halfway around the world to disobey him now. So I'm just going to teach on him. Well, I couldn't read any reaction from the crowd, whether they liked that, whether they didn't like it. But I just started to teach on it. And in a summary, real quick, we're going to run out of time. The traditional way in the normal church that Paul's thorn is taught, normal religion teaches that God
gave Paul some kind of thorn in the flesh. Some say it was an eye disease. Some say it was something else. But whatever it was, the whole purpose was to humble him, lest he be exalted above measure. Now, I went a lot longer than that in more detail. But I said, let's break it down. And I had them turn to that chapter, and I mean line by line. I said, you can tell exactly what Paul's thorn is. He tells you in the previous chapter. And I taught a little on the laws of meditation. Let's back up here. And it plainly says it wasn't God. It says it was a messenger of Satan. A messenger of Satan. What would that be? Say, what do we call a messenger from God? Don't we call that an angel? What is a messenger from Satan? That's a demon. It's a fallen angel. And this devil was assigned to Paul to cause him trouble everywhere he went. And so we just backed up and started looking at shipwrecks and beatings and breaking the bones in his feet and perils of the countrymen, perils of this and perils of that, on and on and on. I said, that's Paul's thorn in the flesh. God wanted the man's ministry exalted, but to the devil, Paul was the most dangerous man on planet Earth. Everywhere the man goes, churches begin, revivals break out, miracles occur, people get saved. So the devil assigns his top-notch demon general an assignment from hell itself to stop this man. But he will not be stopped. So I taught it along that line. I went a lot more detail in what I'm doing now. And the strangest thing, I went back and reread I'd forgotten this part till I quickly went. My grandson's over there. He saw me come in and read a little something before I came, because I had forgotten this part. See, when you obey God and do something like that, what you want to see at that moment is some kind of verification. Okay? Here's the verification. I'd forgotten about this. You want to know the verification that came? At the end, as soon as I finished, I had all kinds of additional things to say. But as soon as I finished, and this has only happened to me, I've been saved 30 years, I could count on one hand the number of times. I'm not an intercessor like some people are called. I see them weep and cry. That hardly ever happens to me. But on that night, in front of hundreds and hundreds of people, intercession came on me. I couldn't talk. Jen Ho's there to interpret. How do you interpret? I'm crying, and to the point I got down on my knees, and everybody started praying in tongues, and this weeping, and I'd forgotten it went on for 25 minutes. I'd forgotten that part. Went on for 25 minutes, and Jeno doesn't know what to do, so everybody's just kind of praying, you know, and then it passes. And then, especially now, I want to see a miracle. I want to see some kind of validation that I obeyed God. Please, somebody raise, you know, somebody come up and give a testimony. I went and sat down. And they had a prayer line. I can't remember exactly what all happened. Nothing. That was on a Tuesday night. Well, next day just goes right back to normal, you know. Now, Friday was the last service. And as we concluded that service, there were some men there, a group of about 15 that came up, and I could tell they were talking to Pastor. They were looking at me. They're talking in Korean. I don't know what they're saying, but there's about 15 of them. And one of them's kind of the ringleader, and he's the leader of the group. he's talking with Pastor Jen Ho, and they're looking over at me, and I'm thinking, oh, God, you know. And what it was, they were asking if I could teach one more service on Saturday morning. These men have traveled a long ways, and they'd like to hear. You didn't get to teach on anything about kingdom finances and gospel entrepreneurship. Would you stay tomorrow and teach on that? I said, well, sure, I'll be happy to come do it. So that next morning we had a pretty small group. There's probably less than 100 people there, and those 15 were part of it. Well, I did a short, I don't know, hour and a half service, teaching just like normal on gospel entrepreneurship and that type of thing. Well, at the end of that service, here those guys come again. They're talking to Pastor. They're talking to Pastor. And here we go again. They're talking to him. He's talking back in Korean. They're looking at me. I'm going, oh, God, here we go again. And they said, now this time he said to me, these 15 men that are here, each one of them is a Baptist pastor. Some of them have traveled for days by bus in order to come to the conference. He said, what they have questions. None of them are filled with the Holy Ghost. None of them speak with other tongues.
But they have questions. And they want to know if you would be willing to stay for 30 minutes and answer some questions that they have about the Holy Ghost.
Well,
okay, sure. Well, when they started asking me the questions, see, Baptist is Baptist all around the world. I'm going, this is the same.
I know these are the same questions I had to get answered in my own heart before I could receive.
So I knew exactly, I knew right every one of them. I know those.
So that 30 minutes turned into 2 hours. 2 hours, because of the translation, it takes longer and everything, you know. Well, I wasn't in real estate all of those years not to know how to close a deal. You know. So at the end of it, I just went ahead and asked him. I said, how many of you now that... I said, do you have any more questions? No. I said, do you see that it's the will of God? Yes. How many of you would like to be filled with the Holy Ghost? Well, all 15 come up. All 15 up. And prayed for them. And 14 out of the 15 got filled with the Holy Ghost right then, spoke with other tongues. I found out later that the 15th one got filled during the following week. Or probably got filled in, but began to speak the following week. Now, here's the part about obeying God. Well, now I had a question. Now you got to understand too, when they get you filled with the Holy Ghost in Korea, you're going to pray in other tongues for about an hour. They don't let you stop for about an hour. They put about 6 people around you, and you're going to each one of you, and you're going to pray in tongues for about an hour till you know you got filled. Okay. So this has been going on for hours now, but at the end, I said, Jin Ho, now I have a question. Can you ask them a question for me? And says, well, sure. I want to know what it is. I was raised Baptist. I want to know what it is that made them want to ask those questions. What was it that made them hungry? So he's asking the question. And they're talking back and forth in Korean. Y'all ready for this? He said, we were all here on Tuesday night when you decided to teach on Paul's thorn. And to be honest, when you said that, we were very disappointed. Because we all were just certain we fully understood Paul's thorn. But the way we understood it was the traditional way. And it says, when you got through going line by line through it, there was no mistaking in our heart. There was no doubt in our heart at all that what you said was the truth. And we talked after that service. And we went, if we, as Baptist pastors, if we could be that wrong in our doctrine, concerning Paul's thorn in the flesh, I wonder if we're also wrong about the baptism in the Holy Ghost. And we decided then, if you would be willing, we'd like to stay and ask you some questions. Now here you got not just 15 people, 15 Baptist pastors. I'm telling you, there is nothing on planet Earth more dangerous than a Holy Ghost-filled Baptist. They're not afraid to work the town, man. And I mean, you get them on fire and filled with the Holy Ghost, the devil is in trouble. If I had not have obeyed God, and it would have been so easy, what scares me, even all these years later as I tell this, I know in my own heart when He asked me on that second step of the platform, are you going to obey me or not? How easy it would have been just to step up there and flow with just the normal message that I had. And it would have been okay. God would have blessed it. But my rebellion in His sight would have been as the sin of witchcraft, where I start exalting my logic above the mind of Christ. It pays. There are dividends. You will be blessed. And life is just sweeter if you learn to obey the voice of the Lord. You'll see fruit. You'll be up here giving your testimonies. I could give others. Others like that. Gary, have you fully obeyed every time? Reading Acts 16 again. No, I haven't. But I thank God for... See, I don't know what would have happened on those. You don't know. When you disobey, you don't know what would have happened because you didn't get to see the fruit. I don't know. But I thank God for the times when I have. And every time... See, His plan is so much higher. I can't wait. Well, I will wait, Father. I will. But I'm eager to find out the impact that those 15 Spirit-filled Baptist pastors had on South Korea. I wonder what it's going to, you know, what will I find out in heaven? Just that little bit of obedience. Get 15 Baptist pastors filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. God only knows.
Someday I hope I get to know. Say it with me. Obedience is better than sacrifice. My provision is in my obedience. Hallelujah.
Y'all remember Elijah prophesied no rain? Y'all remember how God fed him? Out there by the brook. He drank from the brook and the ravens brought him little morsels to eat, you know. Did you know eventually even the brook dried up? God told him what to do. Told him where to go. His provision was in his obedience. You know what he could have done? I have drank at this brook. God has sent water from this brook. I'm staying right here. I know water will come. No. Jesus is alive and well. How he provides for you this week may be different than how he provides for you next week. And when he says move from this watering place and go to this place, your provision is in your obedience. That's good, isn't it?
Yeah. A business may have prospered in a certain line of business for years and years, and if you really pray, you know, he'll show you things to come. He'll start dealing with you ahead of time. If that's a business you need to get out of, he'll have you sell it or do something, get rid of it, change into something else. Don't be blaming him if you don't hear him and do that. Or don't be blaming him, especially if you do hear him and don't do it. He'll move you where you need to go, just like he did Elijah. Okay, I'm not going to disobey him here either. Go to Psalms 103. And don't one of you dare think I'm pointing this at you. I'm not. I'm telling you, I may or may not have talked with you by way of email, by phone, by after church, by in the hallway. And so you might think, well, he's pointing this at me. I'm not either. There is a wave of depression going through this church. If you could talk to the people like I talk to the people, I'm telling you, you're going to have to fight depression like a snake. There's a spirit of depression tinged with suicide. And I mean, it is attacking the prayer center and people in, and you're going to have to fight it. Quit sitting there like a lump. Amen. Now here's a good one. Psalm 103. If you saw a rattlesnake coming up to bite you, you wouldn't just stand there and let it bite you. You take a stick and you'd whack it. Here's your stick. I don't care how bad that devil tells you you are. Look at this. This is old covenant. Your covenant far surpasses this one. And notice David, he had to talk to his own soul. You know why? I bet you anything he was being attacked with depression. So he's going, bless the Lord, O my soul. He's talking to his soul. Bless the Lord and all that is within me. You bless his holy name. But the soul likes a pity party sometimes. I'm down, I'm getting worse, and I'm going to feel bad, and I'm going to call everybody and see how they feel. Well, after they talk to you, they're going to feel bad, and let's see. And he tells you what to do, and this is not easy when you're depressed. I have been there, honey, I have been there. I had to fight that snake myself. But you talk, you got to get it in your mouth. You'll never defeat the devil with your mind. You defeat the devil with your mouth. Please get that. But bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives how many of your iniquities? Let's start right there now. Start right there. Yeah, but I messed up 12 times before lunch. He forgave them all. If you go to the 1 John 1:9, He forgives them all. And you're still His favorite. Yeah, but I disobeyed Him. Hey, you're His favorite. You're lily in His eye like lily is to me. That girl, don't you even accuse my granddaughter. Don't you? Don't you? apple of my eye, boy, I'm telling you what. Come out in her ladybug outfit. You better not. Dipping her bacon in her oatmeal. I don't care if she did lie to you. That's my granddaughter. I'll correct her, not you. That's mine, you apple of my eye. That's the way you are to God. That lying devil keep telling you stuff and you just wallow in it.
Did I say that out loud? I didn't say that out loud.
Yeah, read it again.
Who forgives? Look, you're either going to believe this or you're not going to believe it. This is called faith. Yeah. Do you believe He forgives you? Yeah.
Well, then preach to your soul. You're this day anointed as a preacher, at least to your own soul. Preach to your soul with an anointing from the Word of God. Soul, listen up. Have a chair. Get a glass of water, soul. Sit right there. I'm going to preach to you. He forgives all mine iniquities. You know what that means? I am whiter than snow in His sight. Now shut up. Quit listening to that devil. You stop it. I'm the apple of His eye. He's got my picture on His refrigerator. You know? Who heals all your diseases. Well, it doesn't feel like it. Well, He does anyway. You start preaching to your soul to the unjust judge, you'll eventually get a verdict in your favor and you'll walk out of that disease too. That's why you preach it to your soul. Who redeems thy life from destruction, who crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Gary, if you could see my life, you would know that is not true. No, I know that it is true and you're not living in the truth. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. You know why they follow you? Because they already was where you was. I mean, everywhere you step is goodness and mercy, and so it just follows behind you. Think about Jesus. Everywhere He went was mercies and miracles and healings and blessings. And after He left, there was goodness and mercy behind Him. That's what it's talking about. There'll be you that way in your life too. Crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things. And this part is especially mine, Gary, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Hallelujah. I'm going to bring you a picture from my youth one of these days. Amen. You'll go, hot dang, look at there. I didn't always look like this. I'm telling you now. Sue didn't marry this. Now, this is not what she saw in the eighth grade. Mm-mm. Look at my grandson. It was more like that. He's 16 over there. Okay, that's enough. But I'm telling you, there is a wave of discouragement and depression. And what's that old song? Gloom, despair, and agony on me from Hee Haw. Boy, I mean, there has been a devil like that just everywhere. And you'd be amazed at the calls. Like, it's not just you. And I know people that have talked with me in the last week think he's talking about me. Yeah, well, and about 100 others. I mean, it's an assignment against the church. And how do you... Well, I wanted to stop. Preach to your own soul. I'm going to say it again. You don't defeat the devil with your mind. You defeat the devil with your mouth. Preach it, you little preacher. Preach to your soul. Glory to God.